here's a story from The World.
The pandemic has hit small businesses hard, especially ones that were already struggling. Consider businesses, for example, that cater to marginalized groups like the LGBTQ community. The World's Bianca Hillier reports on the uncertain future of queer bars.
Erica Rose remembers the first time she walked into the legendary Manhattan bar, Cubbyhole.
I like to say that Cubbyhole knew I was gay before I even did.
Cubbyhole, which is as small as its name suggests, opened up in 1994, and since then has been a safe space for queer women, transgender women, and non-binary people. On Erica's first visit, she was hooked.
It was the first time I had seen queer women not only just being romantic with each other, but being themselves in such an immediate and tangible way. It was a wake-up call and like rang the alarms in my head. Oh, this is who you are. And I felt at home there.
That sentiment is widely shared within the queer community. But access to that experience is slipping away. LGBTQ bars are disappearing. In 2007, there were nearly 1,500 LGBTQ bars across the U.S. Now, there's less than 1,000. For bars catering to queer women, the plunge has been even steeper. The number went from 31 bars to just 15. Compare that to the 63,000 total bars in the U.S. And the same trend is seen across the pond.
We're studying things that are quite depressing and quite difficult.
Lo Marshall researches queer nightlife in London, where since 2006, 58% of LGBTQ venues have closed down.
When we were working out the figures, we sort of took a moment and sort of ran the figures again and again and again, thinking that's pretty drastic. It can't be that much, but yeah, it is.
Like in the US, bars for gay men have fared better than those for other members of the LGBTQ community. Lowe says just one lesbian bar still stands in London. But nailing down the reason for these global closures can be tough. To start, entrepreneurs who aren't men get a tiny fraction of investment money, so it's harder to open the doors in the first place. Plus, queer people get paid 16% less than cisgender straight people, according to a study in the UK. That means LGBTQ people can have less disposable income to spend on a night out. Then there are the dating apps. Queer adults are twice as likely as straight adults to use them, and therefore might not head to a bar to meet someone. But Lo Marshall says their research on queer nightlife points to something bigger.
LGBTQ venues have occupied spaces that no one else wanted to occupy, partly about accessibility, partly historically because of stigma. And those kinds of spaces have gone on to be regenerated or become gentrified.
This year, LGBTQ bars in London have gotten extra help from the government. But in other parts of the world, that's not a possibility.
No. No.
Adar Bozbay opened Bagudi, a queer bar in Istanbul, in 2008. After growing tired of facing harassment and judgmental looks in gay bars catering to men.
I want to create something for only women because we have no space in Turkey. We have no space in Istanbul.
For 10 years, Bagudi was the country's only bar for queer women. But Adar says it was hard to keep open. Police bothered her bar more than others. And although Adar often had a packed house, sometimes Bagudi didn't bring in that much cash. So a few years ago, Adar decided to open the bar up to the wider LGBTQ community and has faced a bit of backlash from the original patrons. They ask,
why you change it? This is not good. We was free, we was happy, and 5,000 bar in Turkey for all people, only Bigudi for women. Why you change this?
After the switch, Adar did start making more money. But Bagudi has been closed since March, and Adar is nervous about its future.
I don't know how long we will stay open.
LGBTQ bars in the U.S. face the same uncertain road. The community is trying to help.
I remember a space I never knew existed.
Filmmakers Erica Rose and Alina Street have teamed up to direct the Lesbian Bar Project. They're raising money to celebrate and preserve the country's 15 remaining lesbian bars.
We have been defining lesbian bar as a space for all marginalized genders within the LGBTQ community.
In the Lesbian Bar Project's PSA, narrated by queer icon Leah Delaria, they pay tribute to bars of the past.
I remember being excited for the weekend. It was my playground, my family. I remember the lost spaces.
The absence of those spaces will be felt particularly hard during the holidays. Queer bars are known to stay open for those who aren't welcome at family gatherings. Erica and Alina say those places are more than a spot to grab a drink. They're landmarks. They're shelters. For many, they're home. For the world, I'm Bianca Hillier.